Well, thank God this morning for His salvation. I think this morning if we would ask the question, do you agree with that song? And do you want to be just like Jesus? I think we would say yes, indeed. We see the virtue of it. We see the rightness of it and the wisdom of it. And I know this, that it's God's will that we be like Him. Because the Apostle John wrote in 1 John, as He is, so are ye or we in this world. And we're called to be His apostles, His disciples, the city, the light. We are to go forth and we are to be just like Him in this world. I have found that that's not enough, just wanting. I've got to have some power. And I've got to have some strength. I've got to be broken. And I've got to be healed. And I've got to have the strength and the authority of God Himself empowering me to be just like Him. There was a time after the resurrection and before Christ's ascension, the Lord breathed on His disciples and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." That message is still going out today. He told them to tarry in Jerusalem till they be endued with power from on high. He said, "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And that message is still going out today. I'd like for you and me to think about some more of the presence of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, and the authority of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. The Bible in, I believe it's 2 Peter, speaks about sanctification through the Spirit. The work of the Spirit to sanctify. The work of the Spirit to set apart one for the service of God. The work of the Holy Spirit to purify and to make holy. We are sanctified through the workings of the Holy Ghost and our yielding to the authority and the plan of God. I believe this, I teach this, and by God's grace I endeavor to live this. But I know that theory is a very wonderful aspect of teaching, and it's necessary and important. Today I'd like to go another way and another step, and think about the practicality and the practical aspects in a certain area of our life concerning salvation and sanctification. I'd like to talk a little bit about the reality of the Holy Spirit, the reality of the presence of God, the reality of being sanctified, the reality of receiving from God the gift of His Holy Spirit. I want to approach it from the standpoint of God is an enabler. God is an enabler. God enables us to do what we can't do naturally. God enables us to be like Him when we could not of ourselves be like Him. God enables us to be a light unto a dark world. God enables us to be ministers of the gospel, and I speak of us all. God enables us to show forth His praise, and God enables us to walk with Him to all well-pleasing. God is the enabler, and the sanctified believer has come to a place where he or she recognizes, I'm unable of myself to measure to the stature of the fullness of Christ by myself. I have labored, I have tried, and I have desired. But yet within me is an enemy. There is a person. There is an identity that wars against me. In those times that I would be stronger, I find myself weaker than I wanted to be. Practically handling salvation. The aspects of being filled with the Holy Ghost and letting that go to work in our life. The areas are too many to try to speak on them all today. But the Lord impressed me this week with the thought of the Holy Spirit's work, the Holy Spirit's power, in you and me handling the difficulties of life, and pointedly, hurts and disappointments. I think of everything we have in common, certainly today, being hurt physically, being hurt emotionally, and being disappointed and suffering offenses of some kind or another, real or imaginary, offenses that maybe we had a little bit to do with or we had nothing to do with. I think we all can relate to the fact that as humans, in the community of man, integrated into society and families, we're going to suffer hurts. We're going to suffer emotional misunderstandings. And they will, of themselves, produce in us after some kind. They will produce a reaction. I think we all understand this morning that you and me are going to have offenses. We're going to be offended by someone or something. Life is not a real great respecter of me or you, and it'll present itself in such a way to let me know who do I think I am, and life will present itself in a usurping way over my will, over my good intentions, and over my hopes. So we face hurts, and we face offenses, and I'm interested today in having the power and you and me being glorified with Christ in the Spirit, that we receive the breath of His life, that we receive the infilling portion of the Holy Ghost, that we receive the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit, that you and me be caught up with the Lord in such a way that our reactions and the way we behave ourselves in those offenses and in those hurts, we do so in a manner that glorifies the Lord. We are created and born, the songwriter said, to serve God. We want to serve Him in all things. We want to serve God not only when it's convenient, not only when I agree with life circumstances, but when I find myself in a disagreeable place, in a hurtful place, in an offensive place, that I behave myself, you behave yourself, in such a way that in your very actions at that time, God Himself and the gospel of Jesus Christ will be glorified in those who are looking on. That the name of Christ by my actions and yours will be exalted when they see the behavior and the conduct of a sanctified soul, of a man and a woman who has dedicated and received God's Holy Ghost. When you and me are offended, or when you and I are hurt, as I said, it produces a reaction. It can produce a reaction based on my flesh, or it can produce a reaction based on my or the Spirit of God. And those are the two choices we have. One is rather easy to do. We were born reacting to the flesh. We were born greedy, wanting our way, crying out and pouting, and holding grudges and envying. We were born that when we were hurt, we responded in kind, or we tattled, or we went about some way to let people know, I'm mad and it's all his or her fault. It's their fault I'm unhappy. It's their fault I'm sad. They didn't do me. We were born. That just comes as natural as breathing. But we have another opportunity, praise God. Salvation came, folks, with power. And it came to radically change, not just appease, not just say, you're forgiven, but it came to radically change you and me. So radically, it speaks of it as being a conversion, of being converted. If you took this cup, it would be rather radical to convert it into an automobile, something useful for transportation. Maybe that's an exaggeration, but I don't believe it is. We have been translated by the power of Christ out of a kingdom of darkness. How dare we want to or desire or linger to live any longer therein? Into the kingdom, then, of God's dear Son. He speaks about it as being born again. About being born from above. Not of the flesh and not of the will of the flesh, but of the will of the Father. God wants something dramatic in us. Change, conversion, a new birth, newness of life. So today, the Holy Spirit and His work in me and you. You and me submitted, you and me receiving the Holy Spirit. I think of the needs that the church can have. I think it's a need of the church for every converted believer to receive power from on high, to receive the Holy Spirit. Then the law, the teachings, then the Sermon on the Mount is no longer something I ought to do, but it becomes a practical thing that I can do. Something that is within me. The kingdom of God not just in paper. The kingdom of God not just in the words of Christ. But the kingdom of God established, reigning in my life and in yours. So, hurts and offenses and disappointments will demonstrate what our controlling spirit is. And I find this, it will eventually manifest itself. Salvation is not a suppression of human nature. Salvation is a cleansing and a deliverance from the human nature. Salvation is not, and sanctification is just not you and me keeping our thumb on the old man. But it is a destruction of the old man. It is a cleansing of the old man. And let's not let anyone try to talk us out of that or theorize or reason us out of that. God has a work, and it's called, we call it, sanctification. It was referred to in the past as perfect love. But it is a casting and a cleansing and a purifying and a washing. It is the presence of the Holy Spirit as the refiner's fire living in our lives, purifying and keeping us clean, and empowering us and giving us the graces and the strength and the will to persevere during hurts and during offenses. And not only that, and my main burden is today, or part of the main burden is this, that people will see our good works at those times and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. That's essential to the Christian. That is essential that you and me be that city set on a hill. What better time and place to show the glory of God than when you are severely tempted and those around you, they know you're tempted. When they know you're hurt, you've been offended, and you're disappointed. And to see you, me, the believer, rise above the circumstance and be gracious, forgiving, and kind, and loving, and not lose our vision or lose our spiritual integrity with God. And folks, that produces a glory to the Heavenly Father. May we today pursue that, desire that, and want that. Jesus, and we've read this quite a lot, but it's the truth. Absolutely true. Without me, you can do nothing. Now, folks, we need to take that for exactly what it is. Absolutely the truth. Because there has to be more than just a romantic idea of serving God. There has to be more than just something handed down through genealogy and through history. Those are beautiful, and I think they're very responsible and important. But folks, there's got to come a relationship with God. There has to become not only a born-again, forgiven relationship, but there has to become a marriage of spirits. We have to be not only saved, but a vessel, a temple, a dwelling place for God in this world today. Our bodies Our heart is thrown. The foes purged and cast out. In Philippians 1 and 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Now, did he stipulate any ifs, any ands, or any buts? He speaks here about our conversation. We sometimes call it our conduct. But it has more meaning than that, too. Our citizenship. Let it be known through the conduct what our citizenship is. Where the man is from, where the woman is from. There was a place in the Bible, and I don't recall it all together, but there was this group of people, and there was a certain word that they could not pronounce correctly, and it gave them away. Do you remember Peter at the denial of Christ? The lady, the maiden said, "Your speech doth betray you." You know, we can testify and testify and testify that we are in the kingdom of God, but we must recognize that our conduct, the proof of our citizenship, is in our actions and how we behave ourselves. And is it becoming, is it glorifying the gospel, the good news of Christ? We're to go forth as individuals telling the good news, proclaiming the good news. One of it is peace and joy and victory and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. We have to be very careful that we don't dishonor the kingdom or dishonor our citizenship. But we are, as we promote the good news, we have to live the good news. Do you know all of us can tell someone, you need to forgive? You know where the proof is? As we proclaim the good news, we demonstrate forgiveness. When you and I demonstrate the power of the Holy Ghost living in us, that enables us to overcome the injustice of life, the insults, and the offenses. When you and I can rise above depression, when you and I can rise above human liabilities, and we recognize, and the world around us can recognize, that's not of God, man, but there's something special. That's promoted the kingdom of God. I believe the Lord wants you and me to do more than just go out and tell others that Jesus is risen. But Lord, help us to show the world by the life we live as becoming the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ with our life. May the Lord help us to do that. I'm thinking now that our actions should enhance our testimony. I believe it's right for you and me to look to ourselves. One writer said, look to yourselves that you lose not those things that we have wrought in you. I want to ask us this morning to be candid with ourselves. Are my actions, are your actions enhancing your testimony or not? Think about it. Is the way you respond to life's offenses and life's disappointments and what we claim are hardships, is it enhancing or is it dishonoring your own testimony? We testify of a Christ who can save to the uttermost. We testify to the sanctifying power and the authority of the Holy Ghost. We testify that the old man is crucified with him. We talk and testify of having that old nature purged out. And I ask us this morning to very carefully look at ourselves. Is the conduct of our life becoming to our testimony? The proof is in the pudding. The proof is in whether I have what I say I have or not. Our actions can be a glory, and our actions can be a detriment to the gospel of Jesus Christ. May the Lord inspire us this morning to recognize without Him, I can do nothing. As much as you or me want to portray Christ, we must have Christ. We must be possessed by Christ. Over in Galatians 6 and 10, As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. As we have opportunity. Quite a little thought there. Someone does you wrong. Someone offends you. You don't feel so well. You got a backache. Whatever. Life hadn't been too fair and someone's hurt you. How do you look at that? Here's what I think. I think God would have us look on that as a golden opportunity. It's quite a novel idea when you think about it. Oh, someone slandered me. He talked about me. Well, he hurt my feelings. How do you handle that? Have you ever thought about it being a golden opportunity? This is it. What I've been waiting for. I've been wanting to glorify God today. I've been wanting to be a vessel of honor. I've been wanting to be today meat for the Master's use. Well, then go out and do good for those who despitefully use you and pray for them. Turn the other cheek. And those that hurt you, bake them a cake and tell them you love them. In the name of the Lord and with a humble spirit and with a gracious heart. As we have therefore opportunity. Sometimes we want opportunity on our terms, right? I'll do it when everything's right. My ducks are in a row. Well, I've never seen ducks stay in a row very long, folks. They're kind of like children, aren't they? Lord, help us. We want to do right, and we want to show the glory of God. Are we stipulating the seasons? In Psalms, he said, and it'll bring forth their fruit in their season. We don't know when the season's going to arise. We don't know when the time God said is right. May the Lord help us today. As we have an opportunity, be filled with the Holy Ghost. And when those times of disappointments and offenses and hurts come, recognize it as not some old bleak, dark thing that you've got to brood about and get on the telephone and tell everybody how bad you were mistreated about or not come to service or call the preacher names or some of these kind of things people do. Look at it as a golden opportunity to let the light of Jesus Christ shine forth in your life. That you can validate by your life and by your actions the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm afraid too many people want salvation on their terms. They want it in the time, was it Festus? In a convenient time. They want it when the parameters are in their favor. Folks, life is not that away. The opportunity to do good surrounds us. We need the Holy Spirit to show the gospel, to demonstrate the power, and to demonstrate the authority of the love of God. To be able to forgive, to forget, demonstrates the glory and the love of God. To sacrifice, to take those disadvantaged times that we look at them as being and offer up a sacrifice of the sweet savor of the life of Jesus Christ. That is totally unconventional to human thinking, folks. But God has provided something better for us than human thinking and human reasoning. Lord, help us to break free of our humanity and get a hold to the divine. God has got something beautiful for you, something beautiful for me, but it is not in the realms of the reasoning of the human intellect. It is in the mind and the spirit of the divine to break free from the calluses and the chains of life and to soar in the sunlight of Jesus Christ. To show the love of God when I don't necessarily feel like showing the love of God. To show patience when I am tried beyond human endurance. God, give me grace to glorify your name right here. He breathed on them, folks, and he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. You shall be endued with power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Tarry till you receive it. May the Lord help us today to recognize opportunities are going to abound. Let's take advantage of them. the opportunity to love your enemies, the opportunity to understand where and why situations arise. Folks, I am convinced that we take things, and I say we, mankind, people, we take things much too personal. We take things way beyond the context that they are meant. I worked in an atmosphere one time with disadvantaged people, disabled people, and they're limited in many ways, and communication's one of them. And they taught us this, and I found it so, it's just real quick, that you may be in the process of working with someone, and you and that person you think are doing fine. You're doing whatever you're supposed to do, and you're doing it in the right spirit, the right mindset, and all of a sudden, that person goes ballistics on you. Or they might curse you, try to spit on you. And your impression is, well, that's a minor impression. What'd that do? Reality is, you did nothing. Don't take it too personal, they teach us. Something happened in the course of the past 24 hours, probably, in that person's life that you don't know anything about, and they've stewed on it, brooded on it, heard on it, felt on it, and you just happened to walk by in distance that they could get you. But you personally did nothing wrong. We need understanding, folks. And God gives us understanding. When I'm hurt by someone, when offenses come to you and me, see that as a golden opportunity to see beyond the action and see deep down in a person's heart they're crying for help. They need a Savior and they need a friend. But we can't do that in ourselves. We need the Holy Ghost. See it as an opportunity to minister and to serve others. Do good to them. Pray for them. Offer them a cup of cool water and show them the forgiveness and love. See it as an opportunity to bear fruit. This is it. You know, I kind of like to bear fruit when all the ground's tilled just right, not a bug in the garden, and everybody's bragging on the garden, and rain is just right, sun just right, cool evening's just right. That's pie in the sky thinking, isn't it, folks? We just don't have that in life. We're not afforded that. Those are not the luxuries we have. We have life with all its parameters, all of its joys and all of its downs and all of its hurts, all of its offenses, all of its questions and all of its joys. We just have life, folks. Lord, help us to see every time as an opportunity to recognize, here's a big one, to recognize our own need. That's a good one. I like that. Even if the Lord gave it to me, I still like it. I have found that in my stewing and in my brooding, if I'll get quiet and be objective enough, the Lord will point out my need. And there's where the blessings can come, folks. There's a place that Stan can work. I may not be able to do all I want to do or any of I want to do in someone else's life. But listen, when an offense comes and I start acting in a way and then I start kind of pouting, if I start looking, if I finally get quiet enough and the Lord starts dealing with me, it's a golden opportunity for the Lord to show me or to show you our own needs. And folks, that's the beginning of victory. That's the beginning of peace. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. A little bit further down in a verse ahead of that, he said this. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, we're branches, folks. That's the best we'll ever be right now in this life. We're just branches. And it'd be foolish for the branch to say, I'm going to bear fruit to glorify God. In case you don't know it, you can't do it. The only way for the branch to bear glorifying fruit and honorable fruit, tasty fruit, sweet fruit, fruit that edifies and glorifies the gospel of Jesus Christ, is to abide in Him and for Him to abide in us. Going off at our own charge, our own direction, and our own zeal can hinder us and disappoint us and hurt others. So as we have opportunity through the difficulties that life presents to us, let's do good to all men. And remember this, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except you abide, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. Lord, help us today. Again, I want to ask us to look at ourselves. Am I trying to be a Christian without Christ? Am I trying to bear fruit outside of the vine? Do I know the rules? Do I know the Bible stories? Do I know the expectations? And is there somewhat of a desire in me? So I struggle and I try, but I always resort back to the same old thing, the flesh. And I'm always overly disappointed. And after a while, it becomes, what's the use? What's the use? What's the use? The devil loves that type of, shall I say, experience. Be very honest with ourselves, folks. We can't do anything outside of God. We must have Him. And we must give Him this vessel. And He must possess this vessel. And this vessel must be under His control and under His directions. Romans 8 and 26. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. I want you to read that with me. I can't quite quote it all. 8 and 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. This word, infirmities, Brother Leslie spoke about it during the meeting. I'd like to give you some definitions of it from the Greek standpoint. And it's important because it nails us right where we are, right where we exist in the flesh and as humans. This word infirmities is our want of strength and capacity requisite, or our want of strength and the capacity for that which is necessary. The Spirit helps our want. The Spirit helps our need. The Spirit supplies to us our want and our lack. Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. We must abide in Him, and He must abide in us. We must tarry till we receive that power. If I or you are going to bear fruit in all of our golden opportunities, if we're going to bear fruit in our hurts and our offenses, when they come our way, we must have something more than we have, the Spirit of God, who will supply our want. Our want to understand a thing. I can't understand why they said that. Well, I just can't understand why they did that. I can't understand this. Folks, we may not, but the Spirit will supply our want. That is lacking in us, to understand a thing. He said the Spirit helps our want to do great and glorious things. Aspirations. I believe in aspirations, but let's base them on what their strength is, and that's Christ in us. We want to be a glory to God. We want to be an honor to God. We want to show forth the graces of God. But we must have those aspirations, realizing to do so, I must have Christ in me. I must be possessed by His Holy Ghost. I must have power from on high. So, the Spirit helps our want, our lack of doing the great thing, or the thing that brings glory to God. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Ghost. Someone's going to slap you for this life's out. Someone's going to spit in your face. Someone's going to cheat you. Someone's going to do you wrong, you think. Can you show glory to God right then? Can you do something great? Something great. When I believe He's speaking here, something great, something the flesh couldn't do. God wants to empower us, strengthen us to show forth His glory, to restrain the want that's within man, to restrain corrupt desires. A struggle sometimes. A very real struggle. The Holy Spirit helps our infirmities. That that's within us, that want to restrain our fleshly desires. As if they're just in us bursting out. And to bear trials. And to bear troubles. Aren't you glad today for the Spirit of God? Why would we walk around Him? Why would we ignore Him? Why would we pretend to have Him? Why would we just cavalierly say, oh yes, I've heard of that. Oh God, help us today to recognize if I'm going to have the stamina to run this Christian race, it's going to be the stamina of the Holy Ghost. It's going to be the power of Christ in you and the power of Christ in me. To think that you and I will have the stamina to make heaven our home is a fool's way of thinking, folks. We don't have it in us. It wasn't granted to us, and it's not given to man and to the flesh. It is through the power of the blood, through the power of the Spirit of God dwelling in us. Oh, we want to run this race to victory, don't we? We want to run this race in such a way that we can win. A little thought here in ending. 8th chapter of Romans, the 6th verse. For to be carnally minded is death. I'm going to use that word death and use this word here. To be carnally minded is to be disappointed. Now, it means death, and it means spiritual death and literal death. But how many times are we disappointed ourselves and we look at the reason, it was me. It wasn't what happened. It wasn't the way things happened. It wasn't what people said. I just didn't handle it right. And when it was all over with, I brought zero glory to God. I failed to edify the kingdom. I failed to edify the gospel. I failed to testify to the validity of the preaching and the testimonies of Jesus Christ. To be spirit carnally minded, to mind the flesh, it'll disappoint you. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Peace. That elusive butterfly that flickers in and flickers out. Oh, it's here, and oh, we get ready to take a picture, and we blink, and the butterfly is flying over here somewhere. Hard to pin it down, hard to find it, that elusive butterfly or peace that we might term as a little fluttering butterfly. Doesn't go on a straight course. It just flies. It goes here and it goes there. You try to watch a butterfly sometime. And he'll go just all over the place. I don't know how they ever migrate, but they do. Lord, help us today. Peace. That thing that maybe that's been elusive in your life. In my life. That thing that we craved and wanted and desired and longed for and bemoaned that we didn't have it about. To be spiritually minded is life and the prize of peace. Peace with God. Peace with ourselves. Peace with our fellow man. A spirit of forgiveness. A spirit of love. A spirit of understanding. And a spirit of humility. A spirit reigning in us that rises above circumstances that you and me can show forth His praises right there in the most adverse situations. I want to tell you something in closing. The Holy Ghost and the teaching of the Holy Ghost has practical applications. It's not just doctrine and theory. It has practical applications. That's why the Lord breathed on them and said, receive it. That's why they tarried in Jerusalem in the upper room for the promise of the Father. That's why they were there fasting and praying and waiting, because they knew they needed something. He had already given them, I believe, the Great Commission. But He said, you wait. They recognized the journey was too great. Even in their ignorance, they recognized it. Folks, we're looking back on that. Can we not see the journey's too great for a human? Too great for the flesh? Too great for me to have a head knowledge of salvation? I've got to have a heart-possessed knowledge, possessed of the Holy Ghost. And then that, folks, is peace. When they revile you, what did Jesus do? He left us an example, did He not, there in Peter, who did no sin, and that we should follow in His steps? Yes, follow in Christ's steps. Follow in His Christ steps when? When they invited Him to the feast? Yes. When they sang Hosanna? Yes. Follow in His steps. And follow in His steps that when He was reviled, He reviled not again. The dimensions of salvation include every aspect of humanity, folks. God wants to be God every day. He wants to possess this vessel to sanctification and to honor. Follow in His steps then. A glory to God. I do always those things that please my Heavenly Father. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And when it come time for Him to be spit upon and reviled, He didn't revile back. He didn't respond in kind. See, the flesh responds in kind. You slap me, I'll get you back. You tell a lie on me, I'll remember that. I won't forget. I'll hold that one on you. But the Lord forgave. He said, I forgive you. Go, lady, in adultery and sin no more. As they beat Him, spit on Him, and crucified Him, and laughed at Him, and mocked at Him, and ridiculed Him, shook their heads, wagged their heads at Him, Father, forgive them. He gave us an example, folks. He gave us an example. If I am going to glorify God, it's going to have to be in the adverse times, just as well as it is in those times that are not adverse. So today, you want peace and I want peace. It's in the Holy Ghost. It's in the Holy Ghost. It's in Christ enthroned and living in you and me. The practical application of the doctrine of sanctification. And this is just a little part of it. But it's real, folks. It's real and it works and it's beautiful. You pray for me.